Okay, Mark, who's recording this? I'm not doing this again unless we record it. These people have been waiting to hear this podcast for like 3 hours. This is worse than Popeye's chicken.
Well, I got it, man. Chill. Hold on. I'll record it.
Okay.
Yep.
Where's Brett?
Brett,
are you on?
He was just there. What the heck?
Okay.
Oh.
I don't care. Just start recording.
Well, I have been. Brett.
We're starting.
Brett.
Every single time with this guy. We are.
Oh, hey guys, I'm gonna have to finish this thing tomorrow.
What?
Oh
no,
my god.
No.
Brett. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the TWP podcast, a podcast to help you survive the mundane.
Yeah.
I'm your host, Kyle Cousins, and with me today are my two amazing co-hosts, Brett Wiersma and Mark Nogler. What's up, guys?
Yo.
Hello, everyone.
You're so serious.
Hello, everyone.
So,
good to see you.
We don't actually know the level of mundane that you need to survive. But the reason we're here, the reason we've been doing this podcast is because the three of us at least have decided that the level of our own mundaneness is killing us.
Totally.
We went through the wall a while ago. Oh. Therefore, we podcast. And that's what we're going to get into the name in a little bit. Why we pod. But it's why
therefore
we have this podcast.
It's a solid
that's
option.
That's a good one.
It's a declaration. It is no less than a declaration of freedom. Freedom, as we've said, from the tyranny of the mundane.
Yep.
So we hope you like it. Before we get into the content for today, Mark, why don't you run us through what are the listeners into for today?
All right, we've got a couple things coming up that I know you guys are going to be excited about, like our ice cream list. These probably will not be as intense, but equally valuable. So we're going to start off with a couple.
Oh, you never know.
Well,
yeah, I wouldn't commit to that already, Mark.
Listen, I know who's going to be talking on this podcast, and at least 2/3 of us is going to be kick butt. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be really good.
Yep. Okay. All right.
So we're going to start with an assumptions list. TWP. People are asking. They want to know. We don't know fully yet, but we know what it's not, and it's not some of these. So you're going to love that. Then we're going to talk about the best vacation you've taken and why. We've got a couple things to cover around that. We may go into the hardest that you've ever laughed or cried, and that'll give us some maybe random impressions, some fun discussion there. And I think we're going to wrap it up with the candy discussion for the day. No pun intended. But your food guilty pleasure. What is your go-to at 1 a.m. after, you know what I'm talking about? We've got a panel. It's the whole thing. It's going to be great. And I think that's about, we may have a daily rant from Brett. And we'll close it out with a reading from everybody's favorite book. I'm not going to tell you what it is, but we'll do that when we get there. I think that's it, Kyle. I think we got a great show lined up. This is going to be awesome.
I can't wait.
Okay. All right. I'm pumped. So let's jump right in. So as Mark said, we have what we've affectionately started to call our assumptions list. We pronounce it a little differently, given the first three letters of that word, but it's really focused on acknowledging our name as a podcast, right? The TWP podcast, and really an epiphany that we had this past week or so, realizing that a lot of people don't know what it means. They don't know what TWP stands for. And therefore, it's very easy to jump to assumptions on what it does mean. So we just want to have a quick little discussion on what TWP may stand for and what it definitely doesn't stand for. So we went to a list. I actually populated a list this week, and the guys helped me with this, on some of the things we were concerned that others might think TWP stands for. So I'm going to read a couple, and then I'll let you guys jump in. For one, right off the bat, to be clear, we are not the Washington Post.
No, definitely not.
And I can't emphasize that enough. We're not a newspaper. We're not an online informational source.
I think it's fair to say we have the same level of journalistic integrity that the Washington Post has. So that's positive.
I would argue more.
I was trying to be subtle.
Argue more.
The same. That is not. And I think it'd be fair to say that the Washington Post contributes to some degree to the mundane, the tyranny that we spoke of earlier.
Astute observation, yeah. Kyle.
We're trying to free you from that. We are also, for those of you that are coming to us, I don't know why you would land here if you're looking for a wellness plan, but we are not the wellness plan.
I mean, we did say we're helping them survive the mundane. And if that's a sickness on any level for anybody, and this is your audible hearing and healing, I mean, we're a wellness plan. We're not the wellness plan. That's a good clarity.
Can I have a quick, quick follow-up question to the wellness plan thing that you just brought up?
Was it a question?
Are you in this, I wouldn't say assumption because that's the word that we just used, but are you assuming that someone went to Google and typed TWP
and up comes
and found our website that is not live and then found a way to click on our podcast thinking that this was the wellness plan?
It could be
Brett,
live.
Brett, you're reverse engineering this and that is too mundane.
That's too mundane.
So mundane.
People are going to get lost in the weeds.
Okay.
Trying to keep this high level.
Good call.
We're trying to keep this high level. Okay. The next really important one I want to get to is I just want to emphasize we are not, there's two things that I think we could get confused with. We are not advertising a teeth whitening pen, nor are we advertising a tooth whitening product.
What I love most about this in our list here is that you have put in parentheses that it is dental care. Definitely.
In case we were confused.
the teeth whitening pen, which is a tooth whitening
again,
product.
Not reverse engineering it, thinking about how they got here. We don't want anyone to be confused that this podcast has nothing to do with, or to be safe, it has little to do with dental care.
Right. Little.
We are also not the tropical Western Pacific, which is a famous railroad in the tropics.
Is it really?
It's not us.
That's awesome.
Isn't that what Western Pacific us. Is? Is not aren't us. They aren't they a train company?
When I think tropics, I don't think trains.
No.
That's a good point. You don't take a train from the Bahamas to Cuba or something.
We also are not trains we promote, which is another stupid.
Trains we promote.
Talking word processor? That's right out. Have you ever seen one of those? I've never seen one of those. All right.
Nope, and we are also not the Tomahawk workstation printer, which was famous in the 1970s as one of the first printers.
Was it? Okay.
Sure.
Clever.
Sure. Someone can Google it and prove me wrong.
They could, and it may
and
come up.
And then they can email us at our website that doesn't exist.
You're hunting around on Amazon. You need another dot matrix. You can't find one. You type it in. Up pops TWP. Who knows? They might be listening right now.
Yep.
All right.
Exactly.
We're going to move on. Does everybody get it, though? I hope they get it when they're listening to this. We are not any of these things.
Should we tell them what? We should tell them at least at first blush what TWP does stand for. It doesn't mean this encompasses the whole meaning, but what do the letters actually stand for?
Right. And we'll get into that whole, it's a whole backstory and it's fun and all that, but tell them. Who's going to tell them? Brett? Share with all the people.
Brett, you go ahead.
Share with our wives.
Tomorrow we pod.
One more time.
Tomorrow we pod.
Tomorrow we pod. So you're not listening to this on the day you think you are. You're listening to it tomorrow.
There's a lot there. Yeah, more than we have time to get into right now.
Layers.
Matrix level layers. Yeah. All right.
Let's just say you don't want to be one and done on this podcast. No. You want to stick around. I'll just leave it at that.
No, ma'am or sir. Neither of you want to make that assumption. That's right.
Inclusive.
All right. Let's talk about best vacation and why.
Let's go.
I have a feeling, Kyle, there's a vacation you took that I feel like is going to make it to the podcast. I'm not going to jump out there, but I think I know because you've shared this story with us a couple times.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We are going to talk about this. In other episodes, I hope, because I know there's some other fans out there of what I'm about to say. But yeah, my favorite vacation spot, and this covers years of vacation, so I know I'm cheating a little bit. But I was raised in a Disney family, specifically Walt Disney World in Orlando, Florida, where I now live, which is kind of cool. But yeah, my favorite vacation growing up was our family going to Disney. And before you roll your eyes or anybody listening, look, you're not a Disney fan, hear me out. I understand that not everybody loves it, but I will fight you if objectively you can't acknowledge the greatness of Disney.
Well, what makes it so great? I mean, you've lived in Florida for a long time. I've lived in Florida for a long, long time.
I have. Look, again, I think we need to devote a conversation of its own to this, like another episode where we need to dive into Disney, and I will just get on my soapbox and run with this thing. But the idea that Walt Disney had as a visionary, as someone with an imagination and the guts to make it happen, created something truly, I mean, this isn't cliche, it's just true, truly magical for people, for guests, for families, from people all over the world. I mean, there's a reason people still come from all over the world to see Disney. The way they create a setting, the way they take you somewhere else, to another planet, to a jungle in the Amazon, to the deserts, to to Pandora from Avatar. Like, all the settings they're able to create, and everything is done with total excellence.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just done to the top notch. You just don't get that anywhere else. And I've been to all the other theme parks. I've been to all these other places. It's unparalleled. So, as a kid and...
That is true.
Yeah. I think it is. I think it is unique. I think it's hard to find. I've been places that have done a good job with this, from how they paint the walls to the smells to the sights, everything they think about the total experience. Nobody does it like Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just kind of one element to it. So it's personally, very special for me. The really short version is my paternal grandfather, my dad's dad, died at a pretty young age. I was only 4 at the time. And he and my grandma had dreamed about traveling the country in a camper, a fifth wheel camper, in retirement, and they were going to visit all of the national parks. That was kind of their dream. It was very cool. So mm-hmm. he passed away prematurely. That dream was kind of shot. The silver lining to it that was pretty cool is I grew up, I was very close with my grandmother. She ended up spending a lot more time with us. And so every year we as a family would drive the 21, 22 roughly hours from the Chicago suburbs where we lived at the time. My 5 immediate family members and my grandma, who was now widowed. And the 6 of us would drive the 20 hours pulling the fifth wheel that they had purchased behind my grandpa's truck. And we would spend usually a week, sometimes 2 weeks around spring break, staying at the Fort Wilderness Campground at Disney. So when I say Disney, really, that I mean a big part of it is the Fort Wilderness experience.
Yeah.
We did the parks and, needless to say, ticket prices were a lot cheaper. This was the late 80s, early 90s. So we did the parks and I did all that, rode the rides, and that was fun. I love all that. But Disney to me was special because of those two, because of Fort Wilderness, like where we were, the campgrounds, the campfire movie, shooting hoops at the basketball court at the loop across the street. and then it was special because of family. It was special because of hanging out with my brother and sister every day and feeding the chickens and like going down to the outpost and getting the newspaper in the morning for 50 cents and riding the boats over to the other resorts and then getting that special time with my grandma, who was a huge, she passed away just a few years ago, was one of the biggest influences on my life, just as a man and as a person. So very, very special. Disney's a very special place for me on so many levels.
That's a good one.
So yeah, that's my best vacation.
Brett, do you have one that can compete with Disney?
I mean, I have one that is special to me.
Is it your go-to?
It doesn't need to. It doesn't need to compete.
Well, actually, I had a question before jumping into mine.
Right, follow-up question. Here we go.
So, like, when I'm thinking about why, so I have a bunch of options. Obviously, I've been blessed to go on many trips with my spouse, with guy friends. Like Kyle's bachelor party is in the top 5 for sure. But is it like it makes your list because you want to do it again, or because when you look back, you have these, like you can picture like so many details, like what makes a trip better than another trip?
Well, so that sounds like
I think dealer's choice.
Yeah. The experience for Kyle feels like that's what it was for you. Just the, the ethos of Disney is what you like the best.
Yeah, I mean, I think our boundary for this conversation is vacation. In other words, right. when you were getting away from, the mundane.
Yeah, exactly. Mundane. Come on.
Preach.
Preach. If you were getting away from the mundane, and maybe it was a staycation. I don't know. But if a vacation is getting away from the mundane, getting out of your normal work, school, life rhythm, what was one of the best?
Yeah.
All right.
It could be
I'm ready.
The who, the where, the when.
Yeah.
Hit us.
And I teed it up a little earlier, so I'm just gonna stick with it. I think it was the trip to the Caymans for Kyle's bachelor party.
Oh, here we go.
Because it was February.
Here we
it
go.
Was,
Didn't get
it
to
was,
go.
It was getting away
that.
From snow. It was, yeah, you were
Let
there,
it be known, Mark
yep.
was not
it
invited.
Was not invited.
Intentionally.
Didn't get to go.
Intentionally.
No, that was great. Great vacation. Sounds awesome.
And so it was a guy's trip. It was the experience. It was the ocean. It was the food. It was the laughs. I mean, so that's why I asked the question, because like of all the trips I've been on, that's the one that like, okay, if Brett, if you can only go on one trip this year, which of the past trips would you want to replicate? That's the one I would pick.
I think do a deep dive, fair. Brett. Give me there. I was not there, as I mentioned before.
The trips,
so give
the
me
trips
a...
that I've gone on with my
Hit
wife
with the tails.
And stuff.
Hit with the tails.
Like our anniversary trips, are awesome. And and I've loved all of them. I loved our honeymoon. But it's tough to compete with the tropics or whatever we called it earlier when I was talking about the trains.
Yeah, tropical Western trains. Pacific.
Right.
Yeah, tropical yeah. Western
the tropical
Pacific
Western Atlantic.
Did you ride? Caribbean. Did you see that
so,
train?
Yeah. And I've been to Jamaica. I've been to Guatemala. Mm. I've been to other nice weather places. But yeah, that was, like I said, the laughs, the and also the group of guys is not a common group for me. It was mostly Kyle's group that I was a part of. So that circle is not a usual gathering for me. So a lot of other friendships were started from that. So it was just, it was a hoot. It was a hoot.
That's good. I like
well,
that.
Well, we should add a disclaimer for the audience that there was a very specific reason Mark was not there or invited on that trip. I do have a number of unique groups of friends. Mark is in my Orlando group, and, because of my brother had access to a place in Grand Cayman through some relationships, and this was like less than a month before my wedding. I don't think my wife was super happy about me going, the idea at first, but she was very gracious and encouraged me to enjoy that time with the guys. And so we went to Grand Cayman and spent a long weekend. And the group that went, because my brother was kind of making it happen and hosting us, was with a number of the friends as we've gotten older, and this is more of my story, but as I've gotten older, I've become really good friends with Kirk's friends because of his football career and all that. So that's kind of what Brett is referring to, where we had a really fun weekend. It was very much our Holland childhood group, like high school friends. But a number of them, most of them actually, besides Brett and I, were in Kirk's class 2 years below us. And so it was a fun kind of, Brett, like you getting to hang with guys that you hadn't spent a lot of time with, but all like West Michigan guys.
Nice.
It was a great week. Weekend? It was more than a long weekend, wasn't it? Maybe it was Thursday to Sunday, but it felt like longer.
It was
than
like
that.
3.5. Yeah. 3 days.
Yeah,
4 days.
We jammed a lot in. So there you go. That's me, Mark, your turn.
All right. So I've got, my wife's a travel agent. I'm going to put that out as a disclaimer. So there are a lot of unofficial vacations that we've taken over the years, all of which kind of, you know, center around cruises. So she loves cruises. That's her thing. So for the first part of when she was in doing travel agency stuff, that was, you know, what fun. It was new. You know, your cell phone gets shut off. You have no access to nothing. You're out in the middle of nowhere and you're just eating all the time. It's great. And I loved cruising because it was really an opportunity for the first time in a long time to really be able to unplug. But that kind of wore off. So now it's not my favorite vacation. My favorite vacation, best vacation by far that we've taken, cruises, other things with the family, was taking a road trip with my entire family, my immediate family, up the East Coast to the places where my wife and I were kind of grew up as kids, and getting to show our kids where we grew up as kids and see our small towns and homes and places we played and all that kind of stuff. That was a lot of fun. That's my favorite vacation.
That's a fun one.
Well, and see, I think all of ours have a thread of the people we were with and that those relationships
totally.
That mean a lot to us, which is
yeah,
cherish those moments.
If I go on a cruise now, it's not going on a cruise with my wife is great, and we can kind of do that just about any time. But my favorite cruises to go on, if we go on a cruise again, and we do quite a bit, is to go with a couple friends, you know, maybe two or three other couples, and it's not long, like 4 days. 3 days, 4 days, just a little getaway. That is super fun. Totally enjoyable to me. But other than that, man, I take it or leave it. It's on a boat.
Couples trips are fun.
Yep. Totally.
Especially as I get older, I realize like how thankful I am for when you and your spouse can have a couple where you're like, whatever, two for two or four for four. Like, you know, you each like the both of the other couple. Makes it a lot of fun. And then with all three of us, we're 6 for 6. I would say
6 for 6, baby.
Nice.
So, I guess this is a good time to hit us with the first, non-sponsor.
Oh, nice.
We're very thankful for our non-sponsors. This podcast absolutely happens without them. And,
so great.
I recently Googled worst resorts in the world. So, thought, and by recently, I mean I just did it. Like 5 seconds ago.
So, very recently. Yeah. This is new.
The Boulevard Hotel Ocean Drive, Miami Beach, Florida. From its ideal location right across the street from the beach at Loomis Park to its charming red and pink neon and art deco feel, it's easy to see why many have made the mistake of booking this South Beach Resort Hotel. This is terrible.
It's right across from a park.
But rated among the worst in Miami Beach and TripAdvisor with 1.5 stars, the Boulevard Hotel Ocean Drive perhaps should be named the Boulevard Hotel Ocean Dive.
Who gave them a half star?
Wah, wah, wah.
It's right across.
1.5.
It's right across from a park. So you wake up and all you see. We can't probably talk about that.
Yeah. And I can't read even the description of why it's so bad. Yeah. It gets pretty vulgar.
We can let our listeners go bad. Looking for it if they really want to.
That's your own discretion, folks. That's your own discretion.
Let's move on. Let's move on while we still have listeners.
Okay. All right.
Well, next, this is a topic that we talked about covering in our first episode, but we just had so much to get to that we didn't get to it. So I threw out, and I think this is from another podcast. I want to say it's Pete Holmes. You Made It Weird. He's a comedian that I listen to every once in a while.
He's not
my favorite. He has some really funny stuff, but his podcasts are like 3 hours long. It's just I like podcasts, but not that much. And he, I think, don't quote me.
Sorry, he likes him some him, as we like to say.
I like me some me.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure at the very end, he asks someone, he's like, all right, as we finish, what's the hardest you've ever cried or hardest you've ever laughed? So I threw that out there to the guys, and we decided to add that to the list today. So mine... I was a youth pastor in Holland, Michigan. This is 2010, and we are going around a circle playing like an icebreaker game with maybe 15 middle school, high school, question mark? I don't know. Middle or high school people in the room with some adult leaders, and the game is called Honey, I Love You, Will You Please, Please Smile?
Yep.
So the idea is you turn to your left, and you say to the person, honey, I love you. Will you please, please smile? And then that person has to look back at you and say, honey, I'm sorry.
But I just can't.
I love you, but I just can't smile. Okay, so that's the idea. And if you smile, you're out. So we're playing Honey, I Love You, Will You Please, Please Smile. It's Jason's turn. He turns to this really sweet girl, and he goes, and very softly, just honey, I love you. Will you will you please, please smile? And as soon as she starts to say, you know, her response, he just screams at the top of his lungs, "Why not?" And I mean, like, it's the loudest I've ever heard someone say anything out loud ever in my life. And I laughed so hard and I threw myself physically backwards so hard that I broke the chair open and I fell through the chair.
That's awesome.
So I broke the back of the plastic chair off, fell onto the ground. I'm laughing my head off and everyone around. I mean, it's just like, I bet you half the people in that room would say this is the funniest this is the hardest they've ever laughed.
That's
it was
awesome.
Just, it was a moment that we all still talk about 10 years later. So it's I hope that I beat it someday just so that I have multiple stories that fit into this category. But that is the creme de la creme of hard laughing stories.
I love that. It's a great game.
And I feel like that's saying something because Brett is a funny guy. Like you are, you were our class clown of sorts in high school. You know, you love comedy. Like you're a funny guy. You laugh a lot. But I feel like in a good way, it takes a lot to get you to really laugh. Like you don't just laugh at the drop of a hat. You have to actually think something is funny.
No, there's no gimme laughs. No gimme laughs.
There's no gimme laughs. Yeah. So when Brett says, and for anyone who's ever blessed enough to know Brett or see him in person and see him like laugh when he really thinks something is funny, his reaction alone is incredible. Like it's so fun to watch you laugh.
It's a really full body experience.
There's been some Marco Polos that I think might rival. Like, I mean, yeah, I wasn't there. I didn't see you break a chair, but I'm just saying.
But Mark, you've seen him respond in the way I'm talking.
Oh, like my gosh.
It's yeah. Yeah.
But again, fantastic. I didn't break a chair. So I think you're right, Mark. That's the level that it needs to surpass.
In fact, I feel like that's most of our Marco Polos are designed in such a way so that we get Brett to react in the way that I think we're trying to top. We just need him to be around chairs whenever we Marco Polo.
Correct. I was going to say, can you be sitting more often?
Yeah, not in your couch, but on a flimsy acrylic chair from Walmart. Can you do that? That'd be great.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. Well, Kyle, what about you? Do you have a moment that
I'm going to pass off to Mark, actually, right, because I feel like we're going in reverse order. Yeah.
Okay,
I went
sorry.
First last time, so we'll...
Well, thanks, Kaz.
I want to hear Mark's answer.
All right, mine, man... This was the other part of your wedding weekend, guys, bachelor fun. I don't even know what we call it, but anyway. But Brett wasn't there on this one.
Oh, was this the golf trip?
Oh my gosh, yeah. So we were.
All of our listeners are going to think about my wedding. This guy went big.
Well, no, it's he. You did.
We've covered about a third of the trips that we took.
Yet to be topped. Yeah. So we were, we had finished a round of golf and we were heading to our next destination, but we were getting dinner in between. And so we went to, I believe it was Charlie's Steakhouse.
Charlie's.
In Orlando.
Yep. In Kissimmee. Yep.
And
yep, 192.
And we order a bunch of food. A lot of it's kind of like family style and so on. Anyway, we got into the dessert portion of the evening. We were talking about, it was like some bourbon barrel butter pecan ice cream.
Praline
something that sounded like something.
Yep.
And I don't know. Anyway, we were talking about it and I don't know what prompted this, but I started given
on the dessert menu. Yeah, on the dessert menu, it's not just a restaurant where, you know, it's a steakhouse,
right,
and they go big on this stuff. So it didn't just say like get a scoop of praline ice cream. What it said on the menu was like, you know, you're really decadent, this and that.
Oh,
so this
yeah.
one specifically was bourbon soaked praline something, 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 like really, really just like flowery language.
Oh my God.
Like ice cream. And so someone at the table cracked a joke. How do you think they make that? Like,
yeah, that's what it was.
Bourbon soaked. What does that mean?
Yeah. To which I began.
So
I began the backstory of a lone, pregnant milkmaid in leather-clad hallways churning buttermilk to make this stuff.
Yeah, you heard correctly at home. He said leather-clad hallways. The hallways were covered in leather. Yeah.
This is where they keep the dairy cows. And so she was, in my story, this was a pregnant milkmaid in, I don't know, the Swedish Alps or wherever you would make fine.
She was Dutch.
Dutch,
she was
that's
Dutch.
Right.
She was Dutch, yeah.
And I said,
a pregnant Dutch milkmaid.
I said, a single bead of sweat went into the vat of ice cream she was churning, and that's where the magic came from. And what Brady thought, I said, fetal sweat. Dude, that turned that whole story into, I mean, it was over the top. We couldn't stop. We were at least, yeah, you know, 13 minutes deep into this backstory, and that took it to the next level. Funniest thing I've ever been a part of. But yeah, that was hilarious.
So Brady is my brother-in-law, for those at home that don't know, my wife's older brother, and he is a very funny guy in his own right.
Yep.
He's brilliant at like commentary humor, where he's just kind of the guy that's in the room, and he'll give a one-liner to something that's happening that just brings it all together, and you know, chair-breaking kind of humor.
Yeah.
and when Mark said a bead of sweat fell into the vat, and Brady's a few seats away from you, and he goes, "What is fetal sweat?"
Well, because she was pregnant, so it's a legit follow-up question.
It fit. It was contextual.
It was.
Oh yeah. And I can tell everybody, as someone who was not there but has heard 9 different people share their version of this story, it truly was everyone, like, people were on the floor.
Oh my gosh.
There was gnashing of teeth. It was very funny.
Yep.
No chairs were broken in the telling of this story.
No.
Yep.
That was a fun weekend.
I both laughed and cried at that story. It was laughing so hard I cried. It was great.
All right, so I'll try and tell the shortest version of this. Hardest I've laughed that I can remember, probably one of the earliest memories I have of laughing really, really hard, was junior year of high school. And Brett is actually in this story, which is kind of
nice.
Fun. We've each had the other in a story.
Huge.
Except for Brett. Mark and I weren't in Brett's story.
No.
But we were juniors in high school, and at the high school where we attended, there wasn't prom at the end of the year. It was called, probably because we went to a Christian high school, they called it banquet. Junior, senior banquet.
How Christian
and
of you.
This year, I think
there was
prom
no,
had,
there was
prom
no
had
banquet.
Connotation.
There was a connotation
to
prom.
Also.
There's too many movies with the word prom in it. We can't use that.
Correct. Not trying to go there. Yeah. So the way they did it that year was the junior class was required to put on a show for the seniors. I don't remember how it happened. We don't need all the backstory. You don't need all the backstory. But Brett and I were approached by the committee, which was partly students, partly teachers, to MC the show. So there were a few elements that were already decided. There was going to be I remember they did like Brett, was it a Gilligan's Island sketch?
I think that is correct.
Yeah. Gilligan's Island sketch, a couple other elements. But what's funny is that they gave 2 17-year-old boys the authority and the agency to really not just MC the show, but figure out what the show was going to be.
Mm.
Which, big, big mistake.
And
if you really
we had way too much freedom.
These boys, one of which was you, is what you're saying.
Which was both of us, correct.
Nice.
So Brett and I were not only in charge of coming up with what to say during the show, but we kind of designed the show in and of itself. And again, this is another broader conversation for another episode, because the show that we put together was pretty cool. There are some not so funny elements where during kind of a lull in the evening, one of the seniors in the front row literally started heckling us. It was kind of a low point. It was kind of a low point for Brett and I. But the rest of the evening was pretty funny. We actually arranged a pretty unique event where we had 2 of our teachers at the high school battle each other in badminton on the dance floor. We set up a full badminton court and had them battle. There's way more backstory there, but it was incredibly epic.
It's awesome.
And it was all our idea. And it was absolutely successful.
That's awesome. Yep.
The hardest I've ever laughed was they brought us in that day, to give you some context, during one of the breaks between class, the committee brought us in and said to Brett and myself, what do you guys have planned? Like, here's kind of what we're thinking. Here's the show. Do you want to get up on stage and just give us a taste? And Brett and I very quickly realized we don't have anything planned. We've come up with nothing.
Wait, it was in this moment we realized we had nothing planned.
Woefully unprepared.
In the movie, this is where the narrator steps in.
It was in this moment that Kyle and Brett realized their worst fear.
And I may be getting the timeline wrong. Brett could correct me. But basically, it was that moment that kind of scared us into realizing, oh, we actually have to come up with something. We have to actually plan something. So Brett and I, that night, we met up at his house. And the two of us, I think, I remember a couple of our friends, one of our good buddies, Phil Bauman, was there. I'll never forget that. And we, for a couple hours, did zero planning. We wrote down none of it. Yeah. But for 2 hours, we thoroughly entertained ourselves. And just, again, two high schoolers, like, thinking we are the funniest thing ever. And we're like, this is going to be gold. This is so funny. I was laughing so hard during certain parts that I was, like, doubled over. My sides were hurting. Sadly, none of it was recorded, nor was it planned to be repeated the next weekend at the banquet. But that night was one of the hardest times I've ever laughed.
Yep.
It sounds a lot like what we do to get ready for this. Oh, crap.
Great point.
We're recording tomorrow. What are we talking about?
Some similarities.
Damn. All right.
No, so the senior who heckled us, those words are seared into my memory.
What'd he say?
I am doing Will Ferrell's Harry Carey impression.
Let's do it. Let's hear it.
Like, I'm trying to be Harry Carey. And we think it's funny, and I do an okay Harry Carey impression.
Funny.
But obviously,
it is funny.
Nobody our age that doesn't watch Saturday Night Live would have any idea who I was, you know. So it was the wrong audience for it.
So wait,
but
Brett,
lol,
Brett, what? Text me what he said, and then we should do a reenactment for everybody right here, right now. I'll be the heckler, since nobody knows what he said. You guys do what you were doing, and I'll heckle you. Do it. Do
I'm
it.
In. I'm do texting.
It.
I'm texting.
Do it.
Okay. All right. I'll lead us in here.
This is great.
Brett, what's the character? Who's the guy that hosts? Who's the other anchor with him?
With Harry Carey?
Yeah.
I mean,
who was my character?
I think your character
Stan.
Is based off of
Stan.
Like, sure. Stan.
Just made that up. I think that's what it is.
But you were
I'm trying to hear the Harry Carey voice.
Stan. It was Stan.
I think it's Stan.
All right.
Well, hey, Harry, tell us about the game tonight. I mean, what a riveting match, or what a riveting match. What a riveting game. Give us kind of a rundown of what happened.
Well, back in the third inning, the Cubs were up 5-4, but then the Giants came back roaring, and now it's 6-5.
You're not funny!
Yep, that's about it right there, folks.
Pretty darn close. I just remember two words. I just remember him yelling, not funny.
And he might have. He didn't even
give you the dignity of a pronoun.
It was like, this is going to be an understood you, because everybody's going to know who I'm talking about.
Yep.
So it was a night. Holy cow. It was a roller coaster night, because with how bad that part was received, the badminton match
went off like gangbusters.
The complete opposite. Oh yeah. And every badminton was the best part of high school gym all 4 years, was when you played badminton, which was an every year thing.
That's
and the
awesome.
Push and pull techniques that were taught. I mean, just
amazing.
Amazing stuff. But anyways, I did the whole play by play as like an Arnold Schwarzenegger impression, because obviously impressions was all I thought I was good at back then.
Oh, so good.
Wildly successful. As I look back in the night, it was a triumph over evil.
All right, fellas. Hey, I don't want to cut us off from those are great stories. So we've got just a little bit of time left, but everybody's been waiting for our food guilty pleasure. So here's what we'll do. We'll just give your go-to restaurant and your go-to order from that restaurant. You can have up to two restaurants, but only one order. What's the go-to order at the restaurant? I think that'll lock us in. I think that'll be good.
And just to be clear, this is the guilty pleasure fast food spot. So we're not talking about what's your favorite fast food restaurant, period. We're not saying like, hey, if you're doing a fast food drive through for dinner with your family, where do you want to go? What we want to know is what's your guilty pleasure? Like, where are you going at 12:30 in the morning on a Friday?
And what's funny is that really does narrow the field. Like Kyle and I talked a little bit about this pre-show, and like Chick-fil-A. I mean, there's a lot of good restaurants that are no longer options.
Yeah.
Now I'll leave room if you say Chick-fil-A, like at right before closing, 9:50 on a night, and I'm just, you know, as we joke, kind of if you're trying to poison your body a little bit, what are you doing? Where are you going? Just beyond. We know you have it. We know you have one.
If you're looking share with us what it is. Desecrate the holy temple of the Lord. This is where I go.
All right. So who's going first?
I just want to let everybody know that our panel has left. They were only paid for 47 minutes, and we have taken up all their time, so there will be no panel weighing in on this. So you guys will have to be the judge.
Classic.
I apologize. I apologize.
Yeah, it's a real union. It's a real union. You know, thorn in the side kind of situation.
I sure hope that.
That's a good point, Kyle.
That drowning in paperwork.
That resort in Miami lives up to their end of the bargain. And pays this bill. All right.
I've already forgotten what it was called.
Yeah, I don't either.
All right, Mark, what's yours?
My go-to food guilty pleasure is, it's going to be a McDonald's Big Mac meal straight up.
Okay.
I go wow. large with the fries, large with the drink, not large with the Big Mac. Makes me feel better about myself.
just the Big Mac is what it is.
Yep.
Yeah, way to hold off on those four extra carbs, man. That's really good.
That's it. That's my favorite.
Can either of you name from memory the recipe for a Big Mac? I cannot.
Mark can. I guarantee it.
Two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, and a pickle on a sesame seed bun. Boom.
So, Mark,
insert applause track here.
Were your parents proud of you when you voted for Ronald Reagan in 1984?
When I voted for on McDonald's, the guy that ate nothing but McDonald's for
supersize me.
Yeah.
Dude got sick third day in. He had to eat every single item on the menu at least once, and he had to have three meals there a day. He was into
Give us a like on social media if you're old enough to remember supersize me.
Yeah. He did supersize me too.
Good plug.
He made a second one.
Wow.
The worst thing about the documentary was he put the McDonald's fries in a dish to see how they would decompose, like over time.
Oh.
And they didn't.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he was into this junk.
It makes me want to eat them even more.
He was in there.
I'll be honest.
Dude, they were in this jar for a year. No,
now I really want fries.
No mold. No, I mean, they were, I mean,
ooh.
Those are some Egyptian embalmed fries, if you know what I'm talking about. it was awesome. All right.
Oh, that's bad.
By the way, someone told me to order your fries extra crispy at Culver's and at McDonald's. And then I think, Kyle, you said that you do that sometimes at Chick-fil-A.
What does that get you?
Extra crispy? I've
maybe
never
that
done
wasn't
that.
You. Maybe that wasn't you. But somebody else. That ensures that you don't get any soggy ones.
Is that,
you know what I mean? So I've done that at Culver's now, and it's a game changer.
It's like a twice baked potato.
Sure. they're wow. extra crispy. I don't think you
this
need
is
any
like,
more.
This is like deep state secret menu kind of stuff.
Yep,
love it.
Yep. My food guilty pleasure again with the parameters of like poison and late night. This is not a dinner type thing. Would
naturally.
Be Wendy's. Probably 4 for $4 JB Cheese B 4-piece nuggets. Chocolate frosty fries, and I think it does come with a drink because the frosty would be on the side. So I'd probably do like a diet Dr. Pepper. That would be my order. Yep. Quick side story. When I was in high school, I think you might have been with me, Kyle. We went to the Wendy's on Washington, and I ordered 9 5-piece chicken nuggets. And the next person tried to order one, and the lady said, he ordered all of them.
I don't remember if I was with you or not, but that was
a really proud moment for high school Brett.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that was a high, you might say.
Yep.
Well, this is good. I feel like we're rounding out to really the big three of late night fast food options, but if I'm gonna allow myself to be poisoned at at midnight on a Friday, I'm going to Taco Bell. And for me, the typical order. I've dabbled recently in the Crunchwrap Supreme. I think you can't really go wrong with a CWS, but the order of choice typically is for me a chicken quesadilla. I don't mess around with meals, by the way, typically, because I don't waste it on. I'm not a big fry. I'm a little bit of a fry snob. So if I'm getting fries, period, I'm going one notch up. I'm going to like a Portillo's or a Culver's or I want the thick, crinkle cut, like legit fries. But at Taco Bell, I'm getting a chicken quesadilla, a cheesy gordita crunch, a large Mountain Dew. And Brett, you knew the flavor. What's it? Baja Blast.
Ooh.
Large Baja Blast. And then if I'm feeling froggy, I might add on
Ribbit.
Either the cinnamon twists, which really take me back to childhood, or if I'm feeling real saucy, I will get what are called. I was trying to come up with a better.
So saucy
adjective.
Or froggy are salty the things that you are when at Taco Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm trying to just get real Velcro.
I'm talking grippy, folks. Grippy.
The dessert of choice are called, I believe they're called the Cinnadots.
Ooh.
And if you've not had the Cinnadots at Taco Bell, they will blow your mind.
sounds just...
They'll also make your gut hurt.
Yeah.
But
fake food.
They'll blow your mind.
Fake food.
In all the right ways. In all the right ways.
So that's my guilty pleasure.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, that's great. And I honestly would take all three of our orders anytime. Like I mean when it's a guilty pleasure time frame. I would eat all of those out. You know, that's good.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Well, that sounds like a perfect time for another non-sponsored ad. And we're gonna go with a TWP company, Total Wood Protectant. Total Wood Protectant Semi-Solid Pro Series will keep your wood beautiful, fresh, and looking new longer. The ease of application and maintenance will allow you to enjoy your investment for years to come. TWP Semi-Solid Pro Series provides a broad spectrum of weather protection, is water repellent, and aids in color retention. It resists water absorption that causes... Yeah, I forgot. I can't do anymore. I ran out.
I mean,
protect your great
outdoors.
It's not
like we're getting money for this.
Yeah,
so
no, we screwed that
way
out.
Way to go,
up.
Man.
So use TWP Semi-Solid Pro Series to restore and protect your great outdoors. All right.
Love it. Love it.
Okay. Brett, do you have a rant for today or what? Are we just going to go to the reading? Do you want to give everybody your rant?
You know, I think I have a lot of things that grind my gears, but I'm choosing to want to be more positive recently. So let's not have a daily rant.
All right. Sounds good. Well, then that brings us to our close of the podcast. I know. Wah, wah, wah. Sorry, folks. We're here at the end, but it's going to be the best ending ever. Because it's time for a reading that we have curated for you. I mean, we have scoured the globe of books and found a segment that I think is one of the greatest pieces of literature in all of literaturedom. Many people are familiar with The Princess Bride, and it is a great movie. I love the movie, but The book. It's where I first fell in love with Princess Bride. Am I right? Am I right? Am I right?
Yep.
Am I right?
You're right.
And we're going to do, there's a famous scene from the movie and from the book where If you know the characters, you know what I'm talking about. The man in black is chasing after the three villains in the movie, Fezzik, Vicini, and Indigo, the Spaniard, to rescue the princess, Princess Buttercup. And he bests Buttercup. Indigo in a sword fight, and then he chases down Fezzik, the giant, and beats him in a feat of strength, and he comes upon Vicini and Buttercup, the top of a mountain field, and challenges him to a battle of wits. And so here is where we are going to rejoin the story, and we will be doing a reading from The Princess Bride just for you.
And we hope you enjoy this.
All right. So grab a nightcap, snuggle in, and The Princess Bride and the Battle of Wits.
So Mark will be playing the part of Vicini. I will be playing the part of the man in black. And Brett will be serving as our story narrator.
Hold on. Did you say grab a nightcap?
Yeah,
he did.
People are...
I'm assuming everyone's listening to this over a bowl of cereal in the morning.
Okay.
disclaimer to our listeners, if you're in the car, do not drink.
Or really eat cereal. Yeah. I'm thinking both of them.
It'd be hard to do either one of those. Okay, are we ready? Everybody's good?
All right,
I don't know if I can do it. All right, here we go. I'm so excited.
You got this. You got this. We're going to show the audience. We're going to show the audience we can do this.
We can do it.
The battle of wits has begun. It ends when you decide and we drink the wine and find out who is right and who is dead. We both drink, need I add, and swallow, naturally, at precisely the same time.
It's all so simple. All I have to do is deduce what I know of you, the way your mind works. Are you the kind of man who would put the poison into his own glass, or into the glass of his enemy?
You're stalling.
I'm relishing, is what I'm doing. No one has challenged my mind in years, and I love it. By the way, may I smell both goblets?
Be my guest. Just be sure you put them down the same way you found them.
The Sicilian sniffed his own glass. Then he reached across the kerchief for the goblet of the man in black and sniffed that.
You said...
Mark's not going to get through this.
You said...
All right, gather yourself.
You said and sniffed that. I just caught that in the narration. It's amazing. Okay, Brett, give it to me one more time. Sorry, here we go. Sorry, folks. Here we go. All right, one more time.
That was good. This is good. This is really good.
Okay, it's all out. Here we go.
The Sicilian sniffed his own glass. Then he reached across the kerchief. Let's... What? No, I'm laughing. Okay.
All right, this will be an outtakes. This will be an outtakes.
All right. Are you actually good, Mark?
No, I'm
or do
good.
We need to take a full on break?
Okay. This is great.
Okay. The Sicilian...
Here we go.
Now you got me.
All right, go.
Okay, You got it.
The Sicilian sniffed his own glass. Then he reached across the kerchief for the goblet of the man in black and sniffed that.
As you said, odorless.
As I also said, you're stalling.
The Sicilian smiled and stared at the wine goblets.
Now, a great fool would place the poison in his own goblet because he would know that only another great fool would reach first for what he was given. I am clearly not a great fool, so I will clearly not reach for your wine.
That's your final choice.
No, because you knew I was not a great fool, so you would know I would never fall for such a trick. You would count on it, so I will clearly not reach for mine either.
Keep going.
I intend to. We now have decided the poison cup is most likely in front of you. But the poison is powder made from iocane. And iocane comes only from Australia. And Australia, as everyone knows, is peopled with criminals. And criminals are used to having people not trust them, as I don't trust you, which means I clearly cannot choose the wine in front of you.
The man in black was starting to get nervous.
But again, you must have suspected that I knew the origins of iocane, so you clearly would have known about the criminals and criminal behavior, and therefore, I clearly cannot choose the wine in front of me.
Truly, you have a dizzying intellect.
Well, you have beaten my Turk, which means you are exceptionally strong. And exceptionally strong men are convinced that they are too powerful ever to die, too powerful even for iocane poison. So you would have put it in your cup, trusting in your strength to save you. Thus, I cannot clearly choose the wine in front of you.
The man in black was very nervous now.
But you have also bested my Spaniard, which means you must have studied, because he studied many years for his excellence, and if you can study, you are clearly more than simply strong. You are aware of how mortal we all are, and you do not wish to die, so you would have kept the poison as far from yourself as possible. Therefore, I can clearly not choose the wine in front of me.
You're trying to make me give something away with all this chatter. Well, it won't work. You'll learn nothing from me, that I promise you.
I've already learned everything from you. I know where the poison is.
Only a genius could have deduced as much.
How fortunate for me that I happen to be one.
The hunchback was growing more and more amused now.
You cannot frighten me.
There was fear all through his voice.
Shall we drink then?
Pick. Choose. Quit dragging it out. You don't know. You couldn't know.
The Sicilian only smiled at the Sausberg. There's too many SCs.
You got this. You got this. This is going so good. Here we go. Climax of the scene.
The Sicilian only smiled at the outburst. Then a strange look crossed his features, and he pointed off behind the man in black.
What in the world can that be?
The man in black turned around and looked.
I don't see anything.
Oh, well. I could have sworn I saw something. No matter.
The Sicilian began to laugh.
I don't understand. What's so funny?
I'll tell you in a minute. But first, let's drink.
He picked up his own wine goblet. The man in black picked up the one in front of him. They drank.
You guessed wrong.
You only think I guessed wrong. That's what's so funny. I switched glasses when your back was turned.
There was nothing for the man in black to say.
You fool! You fell victim to one of the classic blunders. The most famous is never get involved in a land war in Asia. And the second, only slightly less well known, is never go in against the Sicilian when death is on the line.
End scene.
All right. Oh my gosh, that was hilarious.
Okay, everyone. Well, thank you for being with us, for sitting through another hour. We hope that we have helped you today somehow survive the mundane. We certainly enjoy this. Come back and listen to another episode. Keep checking in with us. Give us a like on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Tomorrow We Pod, or on Instagram at the same handle, at Tomorrow We Pod.
Yeah.
Give us a follow. Continue to listen. We love hearing from you. Give us your comments, your feedback, and you can find our episodes wherever podcasts are found. Thanks, and we'll check you guys out on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.